you for leading those songs, brother. Thank you for singing them. Back to school, I wonder if you're ready. There's not much known about the type of schooling that Jesus had growing up. There are a lot of external biblical sources that say that every Jewish boy was required to go to school and that the schooling was free and that it was basically a rabbinical school and they would be taught the Torah and they'd be taught the commandments and they'd be taught the history of Israel and how God had seen them work. It's probably likely that Jesus went to that type of school. We don't know if it had chopped up seasons where you're in school and you're out of school like we do here. You know, I was talking with a teacher last week about what they love about teaching. You know, three top things you love about being a teacher. We have any teachers in here? June, July, and August. Is that right? But it is fun when the kids come back because you get to see if they remembered anything that they learned from last year. And so it's a great challenge for everybody involved. Jesus was probably in school most of the year, most of the time. In fact, when he wasn't in school, he was still in school. He was in his Heavenly Father's school. And he was doing the business of his Heavenly Father. And he was looking into scriptures and weighing the Bible and seeing what it meant to him. And he was receiving that inner call that confirmed in him that, yes, he was the chosen one of God, the Messiah. He heard it from a little child growing up. The stories that his mother told, the stories that the church people told, the witness in scripture that confirmed it. But it was God speaking to him directly. Jesus, you are my son. Listen to him. In him I'm well pleased, that has brought us here today. We want to remember Jesus and we want to focus on school. We want to go to school in the way that Jesus went to school, right? I so appreciate the things that were shared from the table. Thank you, brother, for those prayers. Very instructive prayers. And a lot of times we think about our role in the community and our role in the church, and what we have to do and our responsibilities and what it is we need to perform or what tasks we need to do to get the thing, whatever it is, to the end of the thing. And we forget sometimes about the work that's being done within us, don't we? How many of you this last week thought about the things that you had to do that week? Everybody, hopefully. Okay? How many of you thought about what God's doing in you and through you? Probably fewer of us. We get so sidetracked on what we need to do and what we can accomplish and on our human efforts and on us, me, that we forget to just look up and let Him be Him in our lives. I want to encourage you in that way with this lesson. Back to school. Are you ready? It's not just for you. Every one of us needs to get back to school. We need to get back to the education system that God has for you and your life. Are you enrolled in God's course of Christianity? Well, yeah, I know. I'm signed up. I saw my name on the roster. No. I'm not saying are you there on the roster. Are you engaged as God's student? For what God's teaching you and for how God's using you to teach other people. Are you aware that you're one of God's students? Oh, He's a master teacher. He's got more love and patience and pedagogical skills than any of us can imagine. And so I want to ask you, you think school is cool? When I was a little guy growing up in York, Nebraska, you could ride your bike all over town and there was very little danger. And so we would ride our bike to school. And my sisters, I have three older sisters. I was very neglected and abused as a child with three older sisters, as you can imagine probably. And one of them was always walking to her first class as I was riding to school. And so I would love to ride my bike up behind her and I'd say, boo, as I got right behind her. And every time it scared her. She never figured it out. She's blonde. She's a cute little blonde girl. And so she never figured out I was going to come up and I was going to scare her. And school to me was so fun. I loved school. Larson Christian Academy. I still remember the teachers that I had there and how they shaped me and disciplined me. I remember the fellow students, the things that we did for fun, the things that we did that we shouldn't have. I remember so much about school. Back then, school was cool. Now you ask a young person, you excited to go back to school? Yeah, I like you. All right, good job. You're in the minority, my friend. I'm sorry about that. Most kids aren't enjoying school anymore. And most teachers don't enjoy school. They still like what they're doing. They like contributing to society. They like being involved in the community. They love pouring into the children. But school sometimes ain't cool. If you're one of the kids at school that doesn't feel like you fit in, or you feel neglected, or you feel like you're mistreated, you don't even want to go. School has caused more children to become depressed than just about anything else. That's why they sell so many Happy Meals after school. Try to fix it. Try to counterbalance what's being done. So is school cool? Yeah, it should still be. We got a lot of good teachers, especially in Bay County. We got some of the really, really best people that are actually working with our students, and we hope that God blesses them and gives them fruit in that. In the olden days, you had books at school, and you would bring your teacher an apple. Hopefully someone brings you an apple, Miss Anna. I don't know if they still do that anymore. An Apple iPad, William. That's what you need. And now it's different, okay? So what we want to think about, we want to do this pose. How many of you can do this pose? This is an important one. And I don't just say it out of personal bias. I think that this pose is one of the most important poses for a Christian to learn. Probably second only, well, maybe third. First, on your knees, hands up to God, receiving from God, broken, humbly coming to Him for filling and for love and for joy and for salvation and for peace and for comfort and for wisdom, for strength, for grace. Secondly, is your hands open to the people around you, sharing the benefits and the blessings that He's given you, just using you as a conduit. I love that expression. Thirdly, the thinking phase. If you don't have this pose, I encourage you to go home today and to practice it, because you are going to need it as God's student. There are things for you to ponder, and I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 4 if you haven't already. Let's walk through this real quickly. I want you to see the instruction that God the Father lays out for His students. Literally, it was Solomon's teaching training. It was written to all the boys that Solomon would have in Israel, and this was a training manual. This was just part of it, but it's good for all of us. And so we're going to look at it in that context. Proverbs chapter 4, instruction from God. Put on your student hat, okay? You all have hats. Put on your student hat and listen to this. Children, that's us. Children, hear a wise father's instruction and be attentive, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. If you've ever been a teacher up there in front of class, you want to tell them, now listen, kids, this is going to be on the test, all right? Pay attention. Write this down. Don't forget it. Study these precepts. Commit them to memory. Don't forsake the teaching of the teacher. So open your ears this morning. Open your heart. Look at this. God is teaching us His wisdom for His classroom of life. Notice verse 4. Let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. The stakes are high here. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, verse 6, and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and along with it, get insight. Learn the pondering pose. Here's what you can do. You can prize wisdom highly. Notice it says in verse 8, and she will exalt you. You want to be exalted? How many of us want to be exalted in this life? Solomon says the answer is in wisdom. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown, such that none has seen. Hear and accept these words, that the years of your life may be many. He's teaching us the way of wisdom. He's leading us in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, if you love wisdom, notice the blessings. Your steps will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. How many times have we sat through a classroom and the teacher womp, 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 womps, and it just goes right out. And we leave the school with no notes, with no knowledge, with no increased learning because we didn't pay attention. Keep hold of God's instruction. You might not think you need it today, but what God teaches you and what God builds into your heart through Scripture and through other people is going to equip you for faith later on. You skip school today, guess what? You're going to be dumb tomorrow. And that's the truth. All right? You got to go to school to learn. And God's school says, you know, pay attention to the lessons that He's teaching you. Oh, I wish I could remember all the lessons God taught me. I know that there's been times in my life where I've stumbled and done the exact wrong thing that I didn't want to do, primarily because I didn't learn a lesson that God had already tried to teach me. Can you say amen to that? Amen. All right, so what we want to do is not let that happen again for us or in the younger generation. Keep hold of instruction. Proverbs 4:13. You might want to underline it there in your Bible. Put a little marker there. Doggy ear half the page. Tear all the other pages out. So this is the only one you have left. Keep hold of instruction. The main point from this morning. What is your life about? Well, my life's about making sure I have enough of this and I have enough of that. My life's about, you know, making sure my yard looks nicer than my neighbor's. My life is about, well, my life is about, my life is about. We'd like people to say my life is about what God wants to do with it. Amen? And if you're studying God and He's teaching you and you're in the school and you're undergoing His curriculum and you're embracing this and you're taking hold of His teaching and you're binding it on you, you are going to be walking God's way. He's going to bless you. He's going to glorify you. He's going to exalt you. Wisdom will guide you and keep you, and you will have a very fruitful life. More fruitful than you ever imagined. But the key right there, verse 13, will you keep hold of instruction? Will you leave here and forget it? Or will you leave here and you hit your knees and begin that prayer pose? Will you leave here and you go to someone's life who has more problems than you, and you sit there and you ponder with them and you pray about it? Keep hold of instruction. What has God laid on your heart? Do not let it go. Guard wisdom. She's your life. Young people, you're going into class, going into school. We've got several of them in here. Here's one for you. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Chester County High School in Henderson, Tennessee. Boy, there were pockets of guys who were really evil. I just tried to stay away from them as best I could. I was a little mischievous, but not quite evil. But I remember walking down the hallway one time, and there were some guys gathered up, maybe football guys or somebody. The football team was always grumpy, because I think the 4 years that I went to high school there, they were 0-10, 1-9, 2-11, and 0-10. Not a happy group of guys. And there they were, huddled around their locker, and they were up to something that was no good. I could tell it. And so I scooted over to the other side of the hallway to walk by, and they said, Hey, Neil, when are you going to play a real sport? Which is football, I guess. I don't know. They have that around here. So I said, well, guys, I got to go to class. I can't get hung up. Well, no, come here. Hey, what are you doing this weekend? You'll go bowling. Let's go. And they started trying to kind of see if I would join in their group a little bit. Who knows why? Probably just to get in more trouble. Or maybe even to get me. I don't know exactly what it was. But God protected me that day, because from that little pocket of guys that was saying, hey, yeah, come with us, go with us, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, I just felt a little bit of darkness about it. It didn't seem wise to go with them, to join in their group. That weekend, three of them went to jail. And our football team lost the next week without them. This wasn't anything usual. But I remembered back when they were inviting me to go with them, and I thought, man, thank you, God, for guiding me. I mean, everybody wants friends. Everybody wants to be liked. I mean, how peer pressure in high school and middle school is one of the most dangerous things, because you want to fit in. You want to be liked. You want to be accepted. You want to have social life. Solomon warns elsewhere, you know, when evil men or evil women are grouping around inviting you to go with them, don't do it. In the hallways of life, there are people who will invite you into their party. And wisdom would say, don't go. That's not a party for a Christian. That's not a life for a Christian. That's not a relationship for a Christian. That's not a way a Christian ought to live. It's going to rob your joy. Go where God's blessing is. When you're in hallways of life in God's school, do not walk in the ways of evil. Verse 15, avoid it. Don't go on it. Turn away from it and pass on, and just leave them in the dust. Notice verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. So students of God, students of life, find the light. Avoid the darkness. Child, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to their bones. Life and healing in the instruction of God. He makes it so beautifully simple. This is actually the conclusion to the chapter. just to remember, just to do it, just to be engaged as a student of God, to pay attention, to take notes. The tests come daily. The notes need to be taken daily too. So, there it is. That's what God has said to us as students from Proverbs chapter 4. Now, how do you do this? How do you make sure that you get wisdom, that you walk in wisdom, that you walk in the light, that you don't go into the darkness, that you remember to hold on to instruction, all these things. And you know, there was a guy who was golfing one time, and he got some lessons, and the instructor was working with him. He told him a few things and said, now hit the ball. Okay, good job. Now, told him a few more things. Now, hit the ball. All right, now, remember everything I told you, okay? And so the guy gets up there at his ball, and he's trying to remember all of his lessons. He says, okay, feet shoulder width apart, weight on the balls of the feet a little bit, bend my legs, slightly leaned over, drop my arms, okay, nice and relaxed, left arm straight, make sure I look at my target, slightly kink my lion angle, my spine angle there, make sure I can see the ball properly, go ahead and keep coming up, not too far, just a little bit. Now the teacher says, wait, just relax and hit the ball. You see, there's something about being a Christian. If you try to remember every single step, every single path, every single thing you're supposed to do, you're going to wear yourself out. At some point, you've got to kind of loosen your grip on faith and just go with God. You go where the light is. You avoid the darkness and you follow the light. You don't have to remember all the dinky little things about the how-tos of the Christian faith or the must this and the must not that and the checklist here and the don't do that and the do this. Just follow God. Just be a student. How do you do it? Top five things right here. And notice they're in your same passage right there, verse 23. First of all, how do you succeed as a student in this world, a student of God? Keep your heart with all vigilance or diligence. From your heart flows all the springs of life. Remember, Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you say to people around you comes from your heart. Or he also said, so as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You see, the heart is where the things of life come from. So guard your heart. Children, when you go back to school, guard your heart. Don't let inappropriate things in. Don't have affections for things that you ought not to have affections for. Don't open it up. You give the devil an inch and he'll become a ruler, I heard one time. How about this, verse 24. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. A lot of gossip goes on in schools, and sometimes students will use this to slide one another down. Oh, did you hear about what's her name or what's his name? And it puffs them up, you see, to insult somebody else. No, don't do that. Avoid it. Put far away from you crooked speech. Ephesians says, toxic talk. Let toxic talk have nothing to do with any of your conversations, but only speak that which is good and helpful. Don't be negative. Don't be overly critical. Don't be loveless. Don't be discouraging to the people around you. Instead, put away that type of speech. How about this? Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. I like the way Paul says, you know, he presses on to the goal, forgetting what's behind him, but he just presses on to the goal. Look straight ahead, kids and adults. Fourth, this is why you need the thinking pose. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. This is verse 26. I love how Solomon here in the first part of the chapter, he lays out what we're supposed to do, and then he gives us five practical ways to do it. This is number four. Acknowledge God in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. How about with your work? How about with your family? How are you interacting with those in your house, those that are closest to you? Man, sometimes they're the most challenging, but those are also the richest relationships sometimes too. How about in your service to your community or to your fellow man? How about when you go and play and you have recreation? Are you pondering the path of your feet? Fifthly and lastly, do not swerve to the left or to the right. Turn your foot away from evil. Walk straight, Christian. The only way the people in our schools are going to realize that God makes a difference in your life is if He makes a difference in your life as a student. In your workplace, as you have grown kids throughout the country, turn your foot away from evil. Sometimes back to school is scary. I'll give you that. It's scary for us. It's scary for other people. You know, what if my new teacher doesn't like me? What if my new friends are mean? What if my new boyfriend or girlfriend breaks up with me? Excuse me. Here's the answer to that. God's love for you never fails. I said, God's love for you never fails. Thank you. And maybe some of you here who don't believe that. God loves you and has a purpose for you, and it has not failed you yet, and it won't fail you. And man, if we could just bring together, all the collective fear that our students feel this time of year, and bring it up here, I don't know how big the bucket would be, but we'd pour it in one by one, and you could actually see the tangible, real, physical emotions that students have this time of year. And we could pour it in here, and you know what we could do? We could put all the fear in there and just put it away, and they'd be gone, and Jesus would take it. We'd pour it in the baptistry, and it'd just dissolve or something like that, something spiritual. That'd be great. That's what we want to do for teachers, for people who are in the community, for students especially. Take the love of God into the school with you, because love never fails. You got irritating students? You might have some irritating students, okay? Love them with the love of God. You got irritating faculty? People who come into the break room and steal your snacks from the fridge? Okay, love them with the love of God. You got irritating administration? Don't raise your hand. They might be in here, or they hear about it. Love them with the love of God. In fact, do everything that you do as though you're doing it to the Lord and not unto man. That's the way we should go into this school year. Next week, we're going to have a very special blessing where we want to pray over the teachers and the students that will be undergoing this. Now, this is just a down payment and an installment from God's Word to help us think about it, to shape our minds for it, to encourage us to pray about it over the next week. If you see a young person, there's Hudson back there with red hair, give him a pat on the shoulder. Encourage him. Tell him he's going to do good in school this year. And if he doesn't, if you've got any problems, bro, come talk to us, okay? You got a bully around there? Come here. Look at that. Come on. We'll go over there. We'll eat lunch with you. We'll straighten that out. The church is really the support group for kids going to school. Always has been and still should be that way. So we're going to support you guys as we pray for you, and especially as your love in God doesn't fail, because this is what it's all about. Let nobody despise your youth, but set believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Oh, there's nothing greater than to see a young person alive in God, alive in Christ, doing the right things, here on a Sunday morning, listening to the lesson. Well done. And then on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, go live out that lesson. Because it's the love of God in you that needs to be shown into the community, into the schools, into this church. If there's something that we can do for you this morning as a church, I wish we could open up a school. The school that I grew up in was in the basement of a church, and then several years after that, the people in the church got mad because the church was always a mess from the school. And so they kicked the school out. And so now there is no Larson Christian Academy. That happens. There's not always the best place to have a school. But one thing that we can probably all agree on for sure is that all of us in here right now, we are a school. We're in God's education system. So if you're not learning, if you're falling behind, if you feel like you've failed a couple grades and the teacher's no longer teaching you, you're maybe just stuck off in a corner. Perhaps you've been in detention for 3 summers in a row and you want to get back in the seat, back learning at the desk where God is. We want to invite you back to Him, back to the teacher who's always teaching. He's so patient and He's so merciful. He has so much grace for you that there's no reason to hide back in the back of the class, not engage with the lesson. Come to Jesus Christ. He's the best teacher that there ever is. He has the lessons for your life that you need today that will bless you, not only in the present, but in the future. But or we can just ignore Him and go on in your loneliness, in your isolation, in your sin. We invite you to turn it over to the Lord, to adopt the philosopher's thinking pose and think with God about what might be possible through you this week in His name. Won't you come this morning, if we can do anything for you at all, to bring you closer to Christ, to help you wash away your sins with baptism, or just to return you to a proper relationship by prayer. Whatever the need may be this morning, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.